Okay, I'll just preface before, because you brought it up, this hang up people have with Christianity. Who said sounding like a Christian is bad? Like, I don't. Okay, their whole religion is a sham. That's a farce based off of Yiddishkeit. And like we're going to learn soon in Rambam at the end, the Rambam says that this religion was created, or at least the Eibishter made it, that it took off, in order that everyone finds out about Torah and mitzvahs and Mashiach. And they got the details wrong. Everyone knows about the Eibishter. So the fact that it sounds Christian, that's not even a real taina. That's just nothing. You're not saying anything. I mean, like, that makes you uncomfortable, maybe. You don't have to not do Judaism because it sounds Christian. You have to discuss the merits of the thing for its own. Is it true or is it right?
Welcome to Greeting Mashiach, episode 11. Today we have a very, very special guest. I'm just kidding. We're going to be talking about ourselves. You know, we spoke to two very illustrious people. Each one had something different to say about Mashiach. And that's going to be the point. Every once in a while, we're going to interview, you know, someone else about their understanding and their connection to Mashiach, how they made Mashiach personal to themselves. And then we'll talk about ourselves also, and we'll talk about our thoughts on what each person said. So let's talk about you, Simcha.
And you, whoever you are, don't be afraid to talk about yourself. Talk between 100%. Your friends. Kind of the point of this podcast is to make Mashiach a topic. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. Do not be scared to make it a topic. I don't know, one of the things that frustrates me so often is you try talking about something and goes, oh, that same recycled conversation over again. I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's like, you know, if the gula's not yet here, let's talk about it.
We got to talk about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, that seemed to be, I mean, like this, the Rebbe, right? He was someone that his entire life mission was toward this goal, and he basically spoke about it the entire time. So it should make sense that if it's something that we really care about, if it's something that we're striving towards, that should be something that we talk about. Whether it's making a chesed and nefesh, am I doing enough, or anything like that, there should be a discussion. You know?
Yeah.
Are you focusing on the right thing? So, Simcha, let's start from the beginning with you.
Yeah. I'm a CFB. Did you catch
that? What is that?
Chabad from birth. All right.
There you go.
That took me a second. Baruch Hashem, I was raised in a very Geshmaka Chabad family, where I was inculcated into the avir of Rebbe and Mashiach as being very important, central focal points of my life. I grew up wearing a chiyamaka, which, in case anyone was wondering, after I stopped wearing a velvet yarmulke when I turned bar mitzvah, I just turned to the regular six-pack. But when I have kids, they'll have yichi yarmulkes. That's how to say. This was to give you the perspective that was par for the course. That was normal. I don't know where things are holding today, as far as that's concerned. Yeah, I always knew that, you know, the Rebbe is Mashiach, obviously. And I assumed that everyone else thought the same thing. I was a kid. I didn't know the details exactly, unfortunately. But the general arum I had. One particular thing stands out when I went to the kinnas one year. And the topic came up. I mean, this is a while back, so I'm trying to remember. Yeah. This is my impressions of what happened. And we got into some discussion with some kid, and we were saying how there was Mashiach, and he was like, oh, my father's Mashiach. We're all like,
wow,
what?
Okay.
And at some point in the conversation, he like realized we were serious. He was like, oh, I thought you guys were kidding about that. So I said, my father's Mashiach. Like, I didn't know you were serious. Like, now, I was too young then, it was too long ago for me to scrutinize if the story happened the way I'm remembering it or it didn't happen the way I'm remembering it.
Right.
But I think the point of the story is the same. There are unfortunately so many people who grew up and it just wasn't really a topic. It's not something there, and even if they know about it, maybe it's not something that they care about or they feel like it matters at all in any way, shape, or form.
It's very interesting. Before you continue, what was different than, if you can remember, what was different than the way, I guess, the house ran that made you different, okay, from other people? In the sense of, like, what was it that made it so, like, obvious?
Well, I don't know if I felt
what
different.
What was it that made it?
I don't know if I felt different at the time. I mean, that was normal. Mm-hmm. That was being Chabad. That's what it was. At least as far as I was concerned, there wasn't another version. I mean, I knew there were people who didn't say Echi, but, like, there wasn't another version of Chabad where the Rebbe wasn't Mashiach. I think it was clear that everyone knew that Rebbe was Mashiach, and I was under the impression that everyone felt it was important, I think. It was just people who felt that because it might be Melech, people from Chassidus, we don't talk, when you're on Shluchas, you don't talk about it so much. In Cheder,
right, but in the house, you're saying the majority of Chabad should be the same.
Yeah, I grew up in the Cheder in Los Angeles, and there, you know, we said Yechi after the 12 Sukkim by rallies. This was normal. This was I cannot talk for other communities, but yeah.
Interesting. Wow. So I guess continue. So you left. Yeah. So I guess this is Cheder. So in Cheder itself, was there anything part of the chinuch in Cheder that gave you this concept, or most of it was from home?
I don't recall details. I would assume most of it's from home, but like I said, also the fact that you say Yechiba rallies in Cheder, etc., that definitely is a big part. And the Rebbe spoke.
Right, it was a central thing that everybody agreed.
Speaks with regards to general education by Gentiles in public school, by Goyim, that the importance of having first the Rebbe wanted a non-denominational prayer in school. It was a very interesting letter that Rebbe sent to Congress to be part when they were trying to make an amendment for it to have a non-denominational prayer. The Rebbe wrote up a whole letter on the topic, and in there he explains that if something is important, it's part of the school day. The kid knows that what's important is part of the school day. Whatever separation of church and state cheshbonos you tell him, he doesn't know what you're talking about. He knows that it was not important enough to be part of his school day. And things that are, it leaves a big indelible impression that this is important. These are the things you're going to need. So when you have as part of the school program, that we say, and this is, that leaves a big impression. I think that that's a very big important part of it. Then there's obviously the teaching directly, which I don't think there was that much of. Obviously, some teachers were more, so to speak, Mishachist than others. I wasn't completely oblivious to the fact that there are Mishachistim and Antis, but again, it was more of a technical. Obviously, right. That is Mashiach. And what we say, we want Mashiach, it's clear what we're talking about, that it's this is our Rebbe, but maybe we don't talk about it so much for whatever reason. We talk more about the Rebbe, but it's one of the same thing, really, if we're being honest.
All right. So continue. So now going after, so I guess that was your whole Cheder. Now going into Yeshiva, was there like, did it continue
so
on
going
into Yeshiva?
Into Yeshiva, right. So that's when you start really learning stuff more yourself and not just getting taught things. And you start going through the sikhos, Nalf and the Beis. Again, obviously hard to remember exactly how things happened. But as I recall, there was a one point when I realized there are no more sparks, and I didn't recall, it could have been I was told it as a kid. But I didn't at that point in Yeshiva, I didn't recall learning that in particular. As I said, I didn't really know the particulars. And that was a little bit of like a, oh, wow. I don't remember exactly when this was, but it was like, yeah, wow, that's a big deal. So like we're actually done. Wow. You know, that was obviously a big deal. And yeah, as I progressed, you know, you learn more, you learn through the sikhas, and like it's very important to learn sikhas. I think it's also very important to learn through Besuras HaGaula. And to have these secrets at your fingertips, to know the progression of what's going on. Some people like to say that there's no Seder in the secrets, and it was all Himmelish, and it was all just, did I ever talk about this, did I ever spoke about that? It's hard to really, you know, figure out the cohesive understanding
right,
and progression of events.
I was reading someone that wrote an article on, like, the secrets, and they split it up into like topics. Like the Rebbe spoke about this week. The Rebbe spoke about this. But when you look at it as a progression, correct, like you said, it gives you a whole new understanding in the Holden Altman base.
Yeah. There are some people who try to not make sense of things. I try to make sense of things. This is not only with regards to Mashiach, but it's with regards to everything, really. And a little while back, a few months ago, I read the Biel's famous Toisi article on the Kfar Chabad. I got my hands on it. I had never read it before. Biel obviously pretty much invented the whole Mashiachist movement.
There you go.
I mean, the Rebbe invented it, but the Biel was the one who was at the forefront of the entire movement. So I read, was it, I wanted to see what is it that he actually said, and I read through it. In the beginning of the article, I think it's Rav Yishmak, he says not to be delusional about Gimel Tammuz. To pretend like nothing happened, everything is fine and dandy, and life is continuing as normal. You're doing a disservice to the Rebbe. You pretend like everything is fine. Everything is not fine, and that. Even whatever you want to say about Huba Chaim and all this stuff, to pretend to be delusional about it is not the answer. And
Interesting.
then he got to the part that everyone knows about, and he said that he understood for one thing that you could do, so to speak, math in the Rebbe's Torah, 1 + 1 = 2, and therefore Gemul Tammuz is not going to happen, and et cetera. And his math doesn't work out. So basically, I'm out. I don't know what anything means. Don't ask me any questions. I don't know. What it says in the Rebbe Sichas, feel free to quote, feel free to tell over, word for word, whatever it says. It's emes v'yatzel enoch and chas v'sholom to say that one word of the Rebbe Sichas are not the ultimate truth. What's the pshat? I'm not gonna reach any of my own conclusions. And he was basically with that mesalik himself from.
From
And
the whole
some people say,
debate.
yeah, you're just making a revisionist history. Oh, you're retouching. Nobody would have understood. When you heard he gives Mangulasam, the obvious understanding of the Gigas Mangulasam is that we're going to have the Gula. The Rebbe says, Mashiach, and then, this is Shana Shemalach HaMashiach Nigelboy. I understood that to mean one thing.
It seems like that was the thought. That was
And
everybody's vibe and
they were correct for thinking that at the time. Like I said, it's a they never told over the sikhs not that we should not understand them. He told over the sikhs that we should understand them. They never didn't, and so many of the sikhs are practical. They have actual consequences. Chayisara is perhaps a prime example of they never talking to all the shluchim and saying we finished avodah and now it's time to change the avodah because when there's no more sparks and now we're focusing on greeting Mashiach who's here and it's the Rebbe and he's Mashiach and let's go greet him. That's not something you can go back from. That's not a yehidatzin. It's either true or it's not true. Either there's more, and the Rebbe is the Meshaleach, so it's his call. Nobody else can make that call. And he said that we're done with classic shlichus as an inim b'fnatzmei. We're moving on to greeting Mashiach, who's here. So that's not something you could just tie on at all. That's in Himmel somewhere, but down here in the real world, that's not a that's just nothing. That's not a. That's not anything. That's not a taina. That's you just ignoring what it says, which I'm not judging anyone, but that's just not a real. If you want to be honest about it, that's not a real taina. But yeah, so for some people, unfortunately, they will get too traumatized, like a Biel, to really say, they put all their stake in saying things like Gimel Tammuz are not going to happen. I can't even imagine what that's like. I would have came to the same conclusion. I do still come to the same conclusion. Which is why I still think the Rebbe is still the Nasi, and whatever capacity it means, the Rebbe is still alive in some fashion. I couldn't tell you where his neshama is, but one thing is certain: I don't think the Rebbe is being the enemy of the Shechina in Gan Eden. Call me crazy. So I don't know exactly how it works out, but I try to make sense of the sikkas. So I would say that based on some sikkas, that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama has to be in the Guf Gashmi of the Nasi Adar. So why not? I know how neshamas work. Let the Moshe's neshama be in the Rebbe's guf. For I know that's the pshat. So the Rebbe's by the makes the oil a very holy place. If the,
There you go.
yeah, but
Interesting.
yeah. So I try to make sense of it, and therefore, yeah. Are you gonna say there's some revision going on, perhaps? But you try to make like going back to on topic. Try to make you learn the Sos Segula. You see the progression of the Zikas. And if you don't understand it, then look, what could be
Look
Adam
into it.
Shat? What could be? What? Don't quit. That's not the answer. Try to figure out what could be the understanding of these sikhs. Oh, so the Mashiach was revealed that year. The Rebbe says Mashiach is Bezgalos. The Rebbe is talking about that he's Mashiach and he's standing on the roof of Beis HaMikdash. That's a pretty big giloy. Oh, wow. You know, like, that's the year Mashiach revealed himself. Okay, he didn't take us out of Golos yet, but okay, the Gula is here. It's all the way in this world. Well, maybe the Rebbe is true, and that's what he wants us to open our eyes because he wasn't kidding. And obviously, that the Gula is really here. And the second we'll realize it and integrate it and really realize it by ourselves, it'll be true in the real world. Like, instead of saying that it's probably all not true, right. So let's just make up our own version of history and then go back to putting tefillin on people, which is fantastic, yeah, putting tefillin on people. But that's not what the Rebbe told us is the shluchas alone. The shluchas is to put tefillin on people to greet Mashiach. So let's figure it out. Anyways, yeah.
So I want to know, was it something that there was avir, I guess, in yeshiva? Was there like a vibe that a lot of bachim were kaching in it, or it was something that you, because of your upbringing and the way your house, I guess, your father taught you and was mechanech you, that you had a special interest?
Hard to remember. Definitely, it's a topic that comes up, I think, by everyone at some point. It's an exciting. You know, in every nursery rhyme that every kid like tells their older siblings, and they think that they invented it first, like, and then
yeah,
everyone, as on Dr. Medica over here, so everyone goes through these discussions, and that's why people feel like they're recycled, and I don't want to talk about it. If the people before us didn't figure it out, why are we going to figure it out? And whenever people say that, I've probably mentioned this before, it always reminds me of what the Rebbe said, Chav Ches Nissen. The Rebbe didn't say all the big chassidim are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. The Rebbe said one, two, or three people might figure it out, hopefully.
That's very interesting. So the point of my question, there was a little something else to that question was essentially, yeah. Subtext was like, were there mashpim? Were there people that were like guiding you and helping you?
I started talking about submission bachim malay, which obviously, like, any
right,
other,
so there was both.
It's a good bullshit.
I guess, right, I didn't ask
no,
the second
as
part of
far
the question.
As far as the yeshivas are concerned, it's not a real topic at all.
Nothing.
It might as well, I spent 5 years in Los Angeles. I love the Rosh, great guy.
we didn't get the Za yet, but yeah.
We didn't
Let's
get no, but those 5 years I spent in LA, right. Obviously because the Rosh being who he is, the top Bachem things that Bachem brought up with him. And as I understand it, he has a problem with saying that the Rebbe is Mashiach because the Rebbe wasn't Yaakov Kol Yisrael, but the Rebbe will end up being Mashiach somehow. I don't know. Some halachic hang ups on exactly how it works out. But yeah, it's not really a topic. I will say, when I got to Ali Teira, in the rule book, they make you, the paper they make you sign, at least in my days, was you're agreeing that in this yeshiva we say Yechi after davening and we sing it by Febringens, and you're agreeing that you are fine with that.
Wow.
And you don't have any problem with it. You're not going to publicly, you know.
Right.
And at one point during the year, all the Mashpiyim spoke about the importance of asking the Rebbe to be Mashiach, and then asking the Rebbe to be Mashiach, you know, writing your name and asking the Rebbe to be Mashiach, the Chassimus. And they actually had a thing, wow, which to make Chassimus, which most of the Bracha, so was all, one night during Night Seder, there was a bunch of speeches about it. Most people didn't take it too seriously. I thought it was a bit of a joke, unfortunately. But yeah, as far as some of the Mashpim were concerned, at least, not that it was a topic most of the time by Febrengans, but that did happen.
Definitely there.
Like I mentioned previously, it leaves a mark, an impression. It's very important. But yeah, generally speaking, as far as the yeshivas are concerned, this is not. They're much more focused on the present, on being a chassid and learning chassidus, and the kashrus to the Rebbe, and the challenges of Bachrim, and for all anybody knew, the whole Mashiach thing never happened. The whole saga. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think that the yeshivas in Tav Shin Mem were very different than the yeshivas the way they are today, for the most part. So far as the discussion, I mean, things change over time, but as far as what's the whole point of it, the point in Tav Shin Mem was to be a chiddush shabbakr and go on shluchas or whatever the point was, it's largely the same today. That's my impression.
I'm interested to know, I guess, continue with your impressions and your opinions. What do you think? Why do you think a lot of Bachram didn't take it seriously? I'm interested
At that point,
to think
certainly
about.
once someone comes to Aleph Torah, everyone pretty much has their opinions already. And most Bachrim, I think, are not, so to speak, what you'd call Mashiachist. Most people are not convinced that it matters that the Rebbe is Mashiach. They think it's irrelevant for whatever reason.
Interesting.
And they've already got so desensitized to the whole thing and have an icky feeling about the whole discussion, even. It's just politics. It's stupid. And I don't know if they know the details of the whole idea, saga with Dov and Nachshon, or they don't trust his account of what happened, or the things. It's something that's not discussed, and about the importance of these chesimus and the interest that Rebbe had in these chesimus, and how much it was dependent on the people to want it. And when the people didn't want it, then the Rebbe also backed away from it. You see, that's how it happened. And they just. I think there's a few generations here. There was the people themselves who were, most people were all for Mashiach, and in the nuns, that was very very few people. Then were there were some, but people who were there certainly were living the Bachim, who were there b'shas ma'aseh, where obviously everyone was coughing. Everyone thought that the Rebbe was taking us out of Galus any second. Few people will deny that. But then after Gimel Tamas, people kind of tried to figure out some sort of ideology to keep going. And I don't have to. We don't have to go through the whole bloody history of the nuns. People who are there could tell you. I wasn't there. But they landed on some sort of ideology, whatever it is. We're gonna treat Gimel Tamas like they're like Yeshvat, and we're gonna. They became, so to speak, rules in place about the way we do things, and this is what we talk about. These are the important things, and this is the type of Rebbe we're gonna have and talk about, and this is what it is. And things that don't fit into that narrative are not important, and we're gonna put them all aside. And we're not really going to talk about them so much. And even though they know it's important, maybe they didn't speak about this, and their kids grew up in a house where this wasn't important, so they grew up thinking either it's not true or they actually think it's not important. And then when they hear other people talking about it, it's not on their radar. This is not something that's important. I don't care about that stuff. That's not something that talks to me. I care about Zebe and being chassid and going on shluchas. But that the Rebbe's Mashiach is just come on. They can't give you a reasoned argument why it's not true, but they don't.
I'm interested to get your opinion on this because this is what we're doing. I'm interviewing you and I want to get your opinions. I've heard many people say, I guess older Lubavitchers and even some younger, that 99.9% of Lubavitch believe that the Rebbe is Mashiach. The argument is if we should publicize it. My question to you is, do you think that's still true?
This is the true Scotsman fallacy. For those who don't know, it's there's some arbitrary measure of what a true Scotsman is. And when someone says, well, I know a Scotsman, he doesn't do that, you say, well, then he's not a true Scotsman. So there's no way to prove it, really. But
Right.
right. I would say that anyone who thinks that the Rebbe is not Mashiach is either themselves delusional about the things the Rebbe said, or thinks Chas v'Shalom that the Rebbe, I'll just say, was talking somewhere in the Himmel. The nice version is that the Rebbe was talking somewhere in the Himmel, and even though it sounded like he was talking in real life, and there's no real way to understand what he wrote, then we understood that he was talking in reality. And the things the Rebbe said, there's no way to apply them to anything other but the actual Mashiach who will redeem us. They nevertheless take that position and say that we weren't zeche to have this pan out in reality.
Right, we're almost there, but then Gimel Talmud happened, and obviously we did something
Now,
wrong, and now we don't have
you
it.
can take that pretty far, that road pretty far, and try to make sense of things, but it doesn't pan out with, it certainly doesn't pan out with what people thought at the time, obviously, but it also just doesn't pan out with what the sikhs say. It's just that Rebbe was talking about the actual Mashiach. The Rebbe is talking about Mashiach standing in the Gai Bas Mikdash. The Rebbe says that the Eibishter, we spoke previously in Chayesara, revealed himself to Mashiach and told him that he gave him the job to take us out of Golas. And you start off in Bas Lagani. The Rebbe said this is the last dirt. This wasn't something that was invented that later. This was the whole point of the whole Dereshvi the entire time. And if we're being honest about it, there's really no way around that. So people who want to tie that, we weren't zeichet to it. I don't think we have the same Rebbe. And quite frankly, you can consider yourself whatever you want, but when I say Lubavitcher, that's not what I'm talking about. I consider you friends of Lubavitch. You're a great guy. You respect the Rebbe and the Sikhs, but if you don't think that everything the Rebbe says is true to the fullest, I just we're not on the same page at all. We don't have the same starting point of what it means to be Lubavitcher at all, which is another great question. And I don't know if it's up to me or any one person to say what's a Lubavitcher, but I can just talk about what I say, what I mean Lubavitcher. If you don't think that Rebbe's Mashiach, either you're a Lubavitcher who's terribly ignorant, unfortunately, very possible. But if you're not ignorant, then I don't really then the, we're not it doesn't then to me at least you're not a real Lubavitcher.
Right, so it's possible that there are people out there that just
I
don't
still
know about
think
the
the
Sikhs.
overwhelming majority of people, again, I think there is not a lot of people who at least maybe they're subconsciously think that, but there's not a lot of people who actively, consciously think that the Rebbe says things that are, most people are convinced that the Rebbe says something. You see the way they treat everything else the Rebbe says, certainly they treat it as they're, the Rebbe's word is the Rebbe's word. That is certainly most Lubavitchers, I hope. I don't know what all these new things. People I hang out with, these are this is the Rebbe is the Rebbe. This is Shaila, and the overwhelming majority of people I know think that Rebbe is Mashiach. Like I mentioned before, I believe you. Even Rabbi Sh even the Rosh believes that the Rebbe is Mashiach. Doesn't know how, but
In
it'll work
concept.
out. And if we're being honest about it, the Rebbe says that the Nasi Adar is the Mashiach Shebadar. So if we're still in Darish Shvi, and the Rebbe is still the Nasi Adar, he's obviously still Mashiach. And the only way to say the Rebbe is not Mashiach is if you think he's no longer the Nasi Adar. And if you don't think the Rebbe is the Nasi Adar, and we're not a Darish Shvi, right, then again, you're not a conventional Lubavitcher in anyone's definition. You're doing your
Right.
own thing. You're creating your own definition of Lubavitch and your own definition of Rebbe. And I bid you a good day and wish you the best. But any further discussion before we settle that first account is irrelevant.
Right.
But that's, I think, a very small minority of people will say that Rebbe is no longer the Nasi Adar. I think is a better way to phrase it. And if anyone who thinks that Rebbe is still Nasi Adar, then if they don't also think that Rebbe is Mashiach, that's pure ignorance.
Right. We need to learn some stuff.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, a lot of people that I've encountered that have issues or they have what's the word?
Hang-ups.
Yeah, hangups. Is that okay? Fine. Let's say, yeah, we all obviously you're Lubavitchers. We all agree that Rebbe's word is Rebbe's word, and the Rebbe's Mashiach. Okay, so now the Rebbe wants us obviously to spread that because the Rebbe did say that. So how do I do that? What do I do? I go on the street, then I start preaching. I start talking about the King Messiah who's gonna come and redeem you, and you need to redemption. It sounds very Christian and missionary Lahavdil, obviously, but there's an issue there that a disconnect that a lot of people, because they find it very hard to speak to give it over, that instead what they do is just to shy away. I'd rather not talk about it at all. Don't bring it up. Don't let's not talk about Mashiach because there's a lot of things that I can't explain. And if someone has a question, I need to be able to answer it. So I'm just not going to talk about it. Don't start teaching, talking to people about Shabbos if you have no idea what Shabbos is yourself, right? So I'll just not talk about it and then whatever. So I'm.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a very prevalent feeling by probably most people.
So I guess my question for you is, how would you answer someone like a question? You're walking down the street. Okay, so let's do scenarios. Scenario number one: you're walking down the street. I'm a Mitzrayim, and how would a person that is living with the Ein Nein Tzei Kishlichus, the one and only mission, how would they approach Tfilin?
Okay, I'll just preface before because you brought it up, this hang up people have with Christianity. Who said sounding like a Christian is bad? Like, I don't. Oh,
Okay.
okay. Their whole religion is a sham. That's a farce based off of Yiddishkeit. And like we're going to learn soon in Rambam at the end, the Rambam says that this religion was created, or at least the Eibishter made it, that it took off, in order that everyone finds out about Torah and mitzvahs and Mashiach. And they got the details wrong. And when the real Mashiach will come, they'll realize that Hashem Hinchelu Aviseihem, and they got the details about the Torah wrong, and the mitzvahs wrong, and Mashiach wrong. But these are concepts that Rambam says that even the Iyayayam, everyone knows about. Everyone knows about the Eibishter. So the fact that it sounds Christian, that's not even a real taina. That's just nothing. You're not saying anything. You don't have to not do Judaism because it sounds Christian. That's not a.
Right.
You have to discuss the merits of the thing for its own. Is it true or is it right? People are saying that. They're saying because it sounds Christian, they're concerned that people will. What the real taina is, they're worried it'll be medachik someone. If I try talking about it, they're worried the other person is going to think it sounds Christian, and he'll say, "Oh, hold it, I'm done. I came here for Judaism." I could say, at least in my experience, that's never happened with anybody that's fry. Only like the only people who have a problem with this is you have these heavy literature misnagdim guys who just never liked the Babbage, didn't like the Babbage in Tavshin Yud, didn't like the Babbage in Tavshin Lamed, didn't like the Babbage in Tavshin Mem, and just don't like the
Right.
Babbage now. Let's not pretend like that's anything to do with Mashiach. They're always 20 years behind, catching up on the ball. And I wouldn't stop do th and just like previously, we didn't care about we didn't not do mitzvah. So just recently, there was a story going around of an eidim by a certain person who
Yeah.
don't know if you guys saw it, you guys might have seen it, and someone asked him, Mashaila, that. Bob Shabakar asked to borrow my phone to put phone on someone, and I didn't give it to him. And he wanted to know if he did the right thing, and he was like, "Absolutely, did the right thing. Shouldn't give it." This is
Still around, I guess.
yeah, there's such a thing. It's not as much as you, but that used to be much more normal. So as far as from people who don't like Chabad, don't if you're getting hung up on that, I can't help you. And as far as the fry people. I think it's just more about yourself being comfortable with this idea. People feel awkward about it. It doesn't really sit well by them. Or to quote the Rebbe's Lashon, "Es kumt an shver la'hachder dus nekuda of Mashiach, my people." And because they don't feel comfortable with it, they feel awkward talking to someone else about it, and that's really the problem. But I have not found, or let's go back to the same scenario: you're putting phone on someone, you're talking to him. And you have more than 2.5 seconds to just than just putting on tefillin, right? So you tell him, certainly if you're going on Merkav Shlichus and you have 10, 15 minutes, or even longer, you're
Right,
sitting
you
in
go to
someone's
someone's
house,
house.
and you're talking to them for an hour. But if you're telling them about the Rebbe, that there's this guy, the Rebbe, together with that is what once you explain to them, and I'm assuming you're explaining to them somewhat what the Nasi Adar that he's. He's the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation. Together with that comes the fact that the Nasi Adar is the Mashiach Shabadar. That's not a difficult jump. It's the most logical jump in the world. It makes so much sense. If the Rebbe is the leader of our generation, then the Rebbe is Mashiach of our generation. And not only that, and you explain to them in normal Isis that the Rebbe told us that there's so to speak, there's a sort of there's a job of exile. There's a Golus job. And we have to do enough mitzvahs to earn and deserve the redemption. We've done that. And now it's about getting ourselves ready and preparing ourselves and learning about the redemption. And then he will take us out of exile. Let's get ready to greet him. Let's prepare. Let's just like you prepare to greet a king. This is very exciting. Let's do mitzvahs now and put ourselves in the right frame of mind to actually be redeemed. That's a very normal thing to tell everyone, whatever level they're ready to hear. There's the 5 second version of that. And there's the half an hour version of that, but that's not a crazy thing. It's very normal. And I've yet to find a Friar person who I told that to who was like, oh, hold it. I was with you up till Mashiach about the Rebbe business and the Rebbe still the Rebbe somehow, but Mashiach, that's Christian. It's never happened to me personally.
Right.
Unless someone was already initiated and they went to a snag yeshiva and has a hang up with you anyways, only coming from that sector. But Friar Eden, who you're talking to, said they don't have a problem with this. They're very happy to hear it. I have to quote Mordechai ben David. I have good news to tell you, Mashiach's on his way. This is happy news. This is not scary. Stop being scared of this news. People would love to hear that Mashiach is here. One of the reasons I think it's so difficult is because everyone who wants to talk about it feels like they're the only one. They're a Meshuggahnet. You learn the Sikh of Chayisara, and the Rebbe says there, we have to send out a memo to the whole Chabad movement that we have to change the way things are run around here. The Rebbe wanted to reshape the entire theme of the movement of Shlichas, of Chabad Lubavitch. And when you talk to people, first they tell you that the Rebbe doesn't say that. After you convince them that the Rebbe said it, they tell you that it happened already. So,
all right.
It's like you can't have your cake and eat it. You say, what do you mean? First they say the Rebbe doesn't say that. Once he says, we are doing Kabbal Fim Shir Tukenu. Okay, fine. But Lapayel, I don't think that Chabad movement, as I mentioned before, going to yeshiva has been entirely reformed, reformatted. On the large, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And most people just follow whatever is popular. And they'll come up with svaras. I don't mean people are zombies, they think. But their svaras will align, and they'll come up with svaras that will align with whatever is the popular understanding. They will attempt to, obviously, people have an atheist and seichel explains it to this. And people are native towards trying to find a way to explain whatever is the mainstream opinion on things. And the mainstream opinion of Chabad today is that it doesn't matter, that Rebbe is Mashiach, and it doesn't matter. And do just put phone on people. That is the mainstream opinion. And therefore, people try to find slaughters to explain why that's correct and why that makes sense. But if you think about it yourself, you realize that it's Ladafka true. And this is, I think, the difficult thing, but it would make things so much easier. If indeed the whole Chabad movement, all the big speakers and all of the mashpiim and all of the yeshivas and everyone was cocking in this, it wouldn't feel awkward at all. And even other people in the firm world, it wouldn't be so awkward. It wouldn't sound so crazy. If the Chabad.org and all the entire full force and brunt of the Chabad movement was all unified in one message, the Lubavitcher Rebbe is revealed as Melech HaMashiach. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is ready to take us out of Golos. We need to get ourselves ready. Let's prepare. And Yechi was the tagline, obviously. And everything we're doing is L'Havdil Meis HaMashiach. Like the Nasi of the Kinnis and Tavshin Abayis. This was the focus. It wouldn't be crazy. We would explain it. It would be normal. Just like anything else that we're comfortable asking them to put on fill. And even though that's crazy, because we all do it. We know this is what we do. We're Chabad. We're proud of it. I'm not scared of it. I'm not embarrassed about it. I just went, I have a bunch of Nachlamavich cousins. Just this past Shabbos, I went for a simcha. There was a whole bunch of families from both sides. Everyone was together, like 70 guys together, people. And I was the only, you know, Kivsa Achaz ben Shivim Zeivim. But I had a blast, you know. I could... Of course, they want to hear. What does the Lubavitcher have to say? Oh, the Rebbe's Mashiach? People are interested, and you'd be surprised. Obviously, they think you're nuts, but it's some, yeah, some are interested to hear about it. I mean, not necessarily you're convincing anybody, but this makes sense. If you learn about it, you understand it, you can explain your position, it makes sense. It certainly makes sense to them that I was a Lubavitcher. This is what you think. And for all the people who are pretending like you're acting normal, you're not fooling anyone. Everyone, you're fooling some people. But they know really that a lot of people realize that, what do you mean, that I've encouraged Yechid. Of course, Lubavitcher just think that is Mashiach. Like, who are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
You're kidding yourself. And the is Mishkin Kunz, like the saying goes.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So... I guess, yeah, that I guess we'll finish on that, and then we'll get to me in another time, in a future episode. But, yeah, that's Yeah, it's very interesting because I think that you addressed that specific thing. It'll help, definitely. What you said definitely helped me because I'm thinking about giving a speech and talking about Mashiach, and I'm trying. It's very hard to put it into words that a layman will understand. Not necessarily a layman, but someone who doesn't know all this, doesn't have a background in all these things. How can you explain it to them without giving them a
A
six course
whole,
shiur and
yeah, without the getting, yeah.
Anyways, so thank you Simcha, thank you everyone for listening. I obviously share and comment and continue having the conversation. Maybe you can share your conversation with us. And thank you. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. We want Mashiach now.
Amen.
ועד כדי כך המדב גורהוב נדר עם זול מחי זין ישי המלך.
יאי 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 יא